Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 12, 1897. Diary, July 1897. Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia. July 1st to 31st, 1897. Portions of this manuscript are published in TMK 141, 143, 5MR 187, 4BIO 304, 306 to 311, 327 to 329, 391. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales. There is much writing to be done. May the Lord give me mental clearness and spiritual power. Elder Haskell called a short time and wished me to visit the school building Friday to meet with a few from Dora Creek and talk over matters in reference to the conducting of the meetings there. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales. We felt thankful to have a good night's sleep. Awakened a little before 3 o'clock and wrote letters to Willie White, and then Sarah and I went to the post office to mail letters. This day has been a very busy day. I had a long talk with Brother Show. We think it was a profitable interview. We considered many matters in reference to school and in reference to a sanitarium, which he wished to be located upon his land at Pennant Hills. It is certainly a very desirable location, but it will cost money to purchase it, which we have not. If Brother John Wessels is directed of the Lord to come to Australia and invest his means in building a sanitarium, this will be a good investment, we think, for him, and be a great blessing to us. I had a long interview with Brother Martin in regard to many important matters in reference to the school orchard and my own orchard, and in reference to the best methods so to manage the land that it shall produce sufficient for the consumption of the school, and there be no expenditure of money for fruit and vegetables. We expect good crops this year, and we shall have, we expect, all that the school will demand on their own land, and all that our own family will require on our little farm. Had an interview with Professor Hughes and wife in regard to the Sunday holiday. He is troubled to know how it shall be employed. The students are wandering about, and it is not having a good influence upon them. The teachers would prefer to teach Sunday. That would counterwork the influence of that day when there is no school, and the students regard it as a holiday. We find that so many youth lodging in one room is not having the best influence, and there is need of finishing off the school building for sleeping rooms for the students. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales. Tuesday morning, I brought before the students the most important matters in regard to an all-round education. May the Lord bless the effort made to bring before the school the necessity of physical culture combined with the mental taxation. The Lord has pointed out the deficiencies in our ideas and the true education that is essential in our school here in Currumbong, in order that all shall cultivate their God-given talents to the very best of their ability, that, through their use, they may be returned to Him with accumulated talents. We have tried to impress upon the students the importance of appreciating the present opportunities and privileges of their school life. Let every moment be deemed of consequence, and in their studies let the students consecrate themselves to the service of God. Educational advantages are among the talents entrusted to the youth, to acquire knowledge to be used to communicate to others that which they have received. What a difference it would make in their school days if all were to take this view of the matter. I am studying for time and for eternity. By consecrating themselves to God and His service, they will preserve themselves as ones chosen of God and precious in His sight to be laborers together with God. This is the only way we can yoke up with Christ. Brother Showy addressed the school. He has been employed by the government as a school teacher for many years. His remarks were excellent. He and his daughter leave us this afternoon for their home. I had a long conversation with Brother Show. He presented his future plans before me. I had visitors for counsel, Brother and Sister Skinner, Brother and Sister Hughes. This has occupied my time. I also had an interview with Brother and Sister Haskell and several others, while Brother Show laid before us the advantages of keeping bees. He would furnish the hives of good bees for the advantages of having his children attend the school in Avondale. Brother Hare was doubtful whether the enterprise would prove a success. He feared the outgoes would be more than the profit. July 7, 1897. Sunnyside, Kurenbong. Renunciation of self. Obedience is then easy. Brother Haskell left Kurenbong in company with Brother Sho and his daughter on his way to Sydney. He requested me to fill in his time in the school until he returns. Again, I presented to the school the advantage of physical labor combined with the study of books. All who accept Christ will serve him with their undivided interest. He requires all that there is of a man, soul, body, and spirit. He can accept no half service. Every student must accept Christ as his personal Savior, and by his simple, entire obedience to God's will, render to him perfect service as his chosen workers. This purpose, fully realized and carried out, will advance the student in his power to acquire knowledge, as service done to God, to receive wisdom and knowledge that he may communicate the same to others. This will overcome selfishness, for it has Christ for its object. We closed our exercise to take Brother Martin to the Dora Creek Station to return to his home. His daughter is to come to the school. I pay tuition, and he returns the same to me in helping me to secure trees, orange, lemon, mandarin, and other fruits, and he will set them himself in the ground and see that they are cared for. He also wishes his second daughter, 13 years old, to visit us and attend school if possible the remainder of the term of school. We had a very pleasant ride to Dora Creek. The weather is as nice as it can be, although it is midwinter. We had to visit Brother Hare for information in regard to bricks. We find not enough good, sound, hard brick, and shall have to use many soft brick to put in the finishing of W.C. White's cistern, which is 8 feet deep and 14 feet across. We shall have to make the best of it. Brother and Sister Hughes called to see if I would speak to the school Thursday morning. I consented to do this. Sunnyside, Kurenbong, New South Wales. I arose at 2 o'clock a.m. and commenced my writing. My prayer is, O Lord, teach and lead and guide me. Help me to feel my responsibilities in regard to my committed trust. To every man there is given his work, some work to do for the Master. If all the professed people of God would have a sense of their God-given accountability, they would then be laborers together with God. 9:15 a.m. I again visited the school and read to them important matter in regard to the relation of diet to health and morals, words that had been written years ago for the book Christian Temperance. It is just what is needed now for the students in our school. I occupied about 55 minutes. We returned to my home, about 3/4 of a mile, took the two babies, Henry and Herbert White, and Sarah and I rode in the country about 5 miles to Martinsville to purchase corn. We went to Mr. Smith's. We had a very pleasant visit with his wife and his daughter. They were very much delighted to see the twins trotting over the oilcloth floor. Mr. Smith had no corn to sell. We then started on our return to Martinsville and found one of the Martins family had corn, so we were favored. We purchased 2 bushels and bought of them 20 dozen oranges, 10 dozen for myself, 5 dozen for May White, and 5 dozen for our workers, which they pay for themselves. It has been a very beautiful day. We enjoyed the ride very much. I hastened to my writings to prepare mail for America. It is seldom we have one mail leave Monday and another leaving Saturday. We have all letters in before the Sabbath. May the Lord grant that these letters may be correctly understood, for we need so much clear discernment. Elder Haskell is in Sydney and will not return until Sunday. I shall have to take the forenoon meeting. The Lord will strengthen and bless me to speak to the people. Oh, for words that will be appropriate to move the hearts and produce inward workings that shall work outward. July 9, 1897. Sunnyside, Kurenbong, New South Wales. I could not sleep longer than 1:30 a.m. I arose and dressed and sought the Lord most earnestly. I believe He heard my prayer. My only hope is in God. He is my strength and my fortress. He is my exceeding great reward. I can lean upon His strong arm. I can hide my life in Jesus Christ. He will never disappoint me. He is true and full of mercy and compassion. He will be to all who seek Him a present help in every time of need. I read to the students important matter in reference to hygienic principles connected with Bible religion, eating, drinking, and speaking, that all-out actions shall be in accordance with the will and ways of God, corresponding with the great truths which He has given us in His Word. The Lord does want us to be miserable, but happy. The yoke of Christ, accepted submissively, is a restraint from pulling apart from Christ in wrong directions. Without me, He says, ye can do nothing. John 15, verse 5. All who wear the yoke of Christ draw with Christ, and He gives the human agent, if he submits, grace and willingness to cooperate with Him. I sought to impress upon the minds of the students the necessity of the restraint of the yoke of obedience to Jesus Christ, and of lifting burdens in practical working in Christ's methods. All who love Jesus will work as He worked. Satan will seek to make all who have made any profession of religion careless and indifferent. He succeeds largely in doing this, because many are ignorant of the claims of God upon them, and what is due from them to their Redeemer, and therefore they are ignorant of their peril. They do not keep the eye of the soul fixed on Christ. They do not discern that our hope of eternal life is centered in Him. The darkness of unbelief interposes its shadow so that they do not behold Jesus as the light, the truth, the way. In His compassion, He is drawing all men heavenward who will be drawn. Will the students appreciate their heaven-sent privileges? Or will they forget that their responsibilities are proportionate to the light that the Lord has privileged them to receive? We shall not be judged according to the light we do accept, but according to the light we might have had if we had followed on to know the Lord. It is the duty of all to place themselves in the channel of light. July 10, 1897. Sunnyside, Corranbong, New South Wales. I arose from my bed at 3:30, and after offering up my prayer to my Heavenly Father, I engaged in reading the history of Daniel and his three associates. These were health reformers in the courts of Babylon. It is a most instructive history and profitable for us all to consider. If the students in our school would study the life and character of Daniel with a purpose to learn what constitutes true education, and then practice the life characteristics developed in these young captives in Babylon, there would be all-round characters that would be a power of influence in our world, because of the steadfast principles shining out so clearly. I spoke to the people on Sabbath. I felt the deep movings of the Spirit of God upon me. Brother Lacey, a young man, stood up before the people to pray. That act so pained my heart, I said, "Brother Lacey, get down upon your knees," which he did. I knew if any human being knew whom he was addressing, the great and holy God, who dwelleth in light unapproachable, before whom angels veil their faces and cry, "Holy, holy, holy," he would not stand erect before his students and present his petitions to God. Isaiah 6, verse 1 to 4. What effect did this vision have upon Isaiah? Verses 5 to 8. This statement is recorded for our benefit, that we shall have reverence for God and holy things. There is little enough reverence in our world. I feel very sad when I consider that young men come from Battle Creek with a deficient education in spiritual godliness. After devoting years of study in the school at Battle Creek, some have stated that they had an education that was of little use to them. I see more and more the folly of 5 years in succession devoted to education of any student. Let them learn common hard work in exercising the muscles in their hands, and let them learn from books that have not one grain of infidelity sprinkled in through their brilliant productions. It is like the sugar-coated pills that are used, a drug to destroy rather than to restore. July 11, 1897. Sunnyside, Corranbong, New South Wales. I rose this morning at 3 o'clock a.m. and commenced my work. If ever there was a time when our hearts should hunger and thirst after righteousness, it is at the present time. I have the rich promise that if I seek the Lord with all my heart, I shall find Him, and it will certainly be to the joy of my soul. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. James 1, verse 2. This may seem a strange note at first appearance, almost a contradiction of truth. But if we read on to the end of the whole chapter with an intelligent, thoughtful mind, the explanation is clear. No one is to invite temptation, but if ye fall into temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Verses 2-4. This is a state of peace, of rest, because they have taken the yoke of Christ upon them, which is a yoke of restraint. They are laborers together with God and lift Christ's burdens, and in this very action comes peace and rest and assurance. They have fallen into temptation, unawares, but they have not been overcome with the temptation. They have come out on the right side and have not dishonored their Redeemer by hasty speech and a reckless discouragement. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he will receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Verses 5-8. Let us read the entire chapter for a solution to the whole subject of temptation. Wrote 8 pages in the forenoon. Sarah and I rode to Dora Station to meet Cressy Martin, hoping also to meet Elder Haskell, but he left the cars at Morissette. I wished to converse with him while riding in the carriage. Cressy has come to attend school, and her sister, younger, comes next Sunday, and the father, Brother Martin, comes to set out trees for me and to trim the school orchard. Brother Martin is pleased to have his children attend the school in Kurenbong. I have agreed to board them and pay their tuition through this term of school. Brother Martin will return the same amount to me in ways that shall help me. We need much wisdom to know how to move. Brother John Bell called to bring me notes to sign. In afternoon, wrote 12 pages of important matter for the school. I thank my Heavenly Father for a good night's sleep. Retired after 8 o'clock and slept until nearly past 3 o'clock. I sought the Lord in prayer, and then I believed that He would give wisdom that we should know how to move through the day. I ask that the Holy Spirit shall control my thoughts through the day. I plead for wisdom in judgment, clearness of brain, and understanding, that I may see the treasures in the Word of God, and bring out the precious truth in the simplest language. Thus did the greatest teacher the world ever knew. I feel more and more impressed with the greatness of the subject of the Lord's soon appearing in the clouds of heaven, with power and great glory. This faith moves me greatly to observe due solemnity at all times and in all places. But while I enjoin upon myself and others to be sober, they are not to cherish sadness and gloom. Luke 21, verse 26-28. I wrote many pages July 8th in regard to the students' behavior in school. There are some few who seem to have little idea of what it means to behave like gentlemen. They certainly do not behave like Christians, but more like clowns. The Lord has given me a testimony of reproof and warning for them. While we are not to be gloomy, but cheerful and happy, there is to be no silliness, but a sobriety in harmony with our faith. Words and actions form character. Therefore, our words should be clean, pure, simple, yet elevated. The gift of speech is a valuable talent, and the Lord has no pleasure in heaving low, cheap, degrading nonsense which tastes strongly of vice and revelry. No Christian should condescend to imitate and catch such habits from another student. These evil, silly words are discordant notes and contribute to the happiness of no one. They are a detriment to spirituality. The Word of God forbids them. A good man out of the good treasure bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Matthew 12, verse 35-37. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Matthew 9, verse 4. Jesus reads the hearts and minds and thoughts of every student in the school. Do they think of this, that he hears every word uttered in the bedchamber, that he sees every action? There is a witness present, tracing every word spoken and every act performed, good or evil. Do all feel they are doing honor to God? They are dependent upon Him for every supply, even for food and life and health, and yet they insult Him to His face. Will He not judge for these things? Shall we not keep the Lord ever before us? July 13, 1897. Sunnyside, Kooranbong, New South Wales. I awoke at 3:30 a.m. A burden is upon my mind. The state of things in our school, as it has been presented before me, is not meeting the mind of the Spirit of God. His heart of love is grieved. As I consider these things, I have a burden to write. There is a message I must bear to the student at the school. There is a spirit of levity and recklessness that should not be tolerated. There are some who have not stood in the counsel of God, but have by their words and by their attitude given more or less encouragement to the students to suppose they were under too much restraint. I knew from the light given me it was time for me to speak. I went to the school this morning and found Brother and Sister Hughes and Brother and Sister Haskell counseling together as to what they should do to change the order of things. Mr. Blank and Mr. Blank were the moving elements in this riotous business in the rooms they occupied. The foolish talking, the jesting, the joking, the low, cheap talk, and the unruly spirit were contaminating the youth. I presented to them that both principal and teachers were held responsible and were under condemnation of God while these things existed. They are to watch for souls as they that must give an account. I read before the school that a change must come. No longer should any such deportment be tolerated in the school. After I had read the matter written, there were some testimonies borne by the students which were to the point. Brother Blank had given his class unwarranted liberties, and they received little good from their studies. I could not sleep past 2:00. At 3:00, I have built my fire and offered up praise and thanksgiving to God for His watch care and guardianship through the night. I am very grateful that the Lord gives me health and physical activity and mental clearness to do the work He has appointed me to do. It is often not pleasant to speak the plain words of reproof and counsel, but I dare not hold my peace, lest the sins of the wrongdoer, not warned, shall go on in heedless indifference until the Lord shall cut him down like a tree that is as a cumberer of the ground. This day the men plastering our house leave for Sydney. Their work is done. We had only 2 coats on the house. The 3rd coat, which is the hard finish and very white, is generally put on. We thought, on estimating the cost, that we might save that extra coat which would cost £6 additional expense. In 1 week, May White can move into her new home. They begin the cleaning at once. Brother Warsnop will finish the cistern. It is 8 feet deep and 14 feet in circumference, making it a cistern which will hold a large body of water. I have been writing upon important matter today in relation to the school. The Lord has given me a message for the students. We are very sorry that some few are not Christians. They have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. There are 3, especially, who harmonize in sport and disorderly behavior in their room, and this makes it a hard matter to keep the young men associated with them from being contaminated with their influence. I have spoken the word of the Lord to them, and now we wait to see what they will do. We need the Lord Jesus with us at every step. We cannot be safe unless our hearts are going out after God. The end is near. We need to be instant in prayer, to educate the heart to be in a praying mood, hearts drawn out after God. If we do this, there will be less nonsense, and our words will be more fitly spoken, and our hearts softened by the Holy Spirit. And we shall have the comfort of the grace of Christ. I arose this morning at 3:30. I am thankful to my Heavenly Father for a good night's rest. I feel refreshed. After a season of prayer, I wrote important matter in relation to the school. Brother Herbert Lacey called and made a short visit. We engaged in profitable conversation. He stated that while in America at Healdsburg, he engaged in Bible studies. After going to Battle Creek, he went deeper into study and did not take Bible studies at all. Here he has lost much, for the most important of all education is to understand what saith the Scriptures, And yet, he was ordained for the ministry when he had not fitted himself at all for such a position. He was not fitted to teach the students, for the Word of God is our lesson book, lying at the very foundation of all true education. He is just beginning to understand that he has everything to learn. The Lord gave me a message for him. He says every word of it is truth, and he wants to know himself. May the Lord mold and fashion him. The very first work he needs is thorough conversion. He is ignorant of the Scriptures and the power of God. This is the great mistake that has been made in this young man's education. Oh, that as a teacher in this school, he may be a learner. I had my attention called to the various interests outside, where things shall be planted. Sarah and myself have to keep the run of the business of Willie's house, in his absence, and of the cistern which is now being dug. The brick is now being drawn to brick it up, and we just found we must have cement, which no one has thought to order. The brick has to be laid in cement, so that no water will seep through. The order has been sent to Newcastle for the lime and cement. I rode over to the school to see Brother Hare and converse with him. Brother James must have a home built, a small cottage for his family. There are many things requiring to be done, and responsibilities which someone must take upon themselves. Sarah has obtained a donation of 6 fowl for the school from Sister Colston. May White and I gave 6 more, and others will make a donation, we think. I have confined myself closely to writing today. Have written many pages, notwithstanding the interruptions. I awakened this morning at 3 o'clock and lifted my heart in prayer and thanksgiving to God for His watchful care over the household. I pray the Lord to take us all under His guardianship today and make His face to shine upon us. I pray most earnestly that He will honor our humble dwelling with His abiding presence in our home. We may, every individual in the family, have the converting power of God daily upon heart and character. The religion of Christ in the heart is the wellspring of life. It is the living water that Christ will give to every thirsting soul that asks Him. There are many who keep religion in practice far from the soul temple, and their faith is not in Jesus Christ. We are trying to do all in our power to help the unconverted professor of religion to see the great loss he is sustaining in keeping his Lord and Savior in the outer court. The heavenly guest should be invited to occupy the throne of the soul, to control every impulse of the mind, and to bring even the thoughts into subjection to Jesus Christ. 4:30. I have not accomplished as much as I desired in writing today. I have much to think of and to plan and devise for others. We shall have no American mail until next Tuesday. Brother Warsnop has finished the cistern, and, if there is no rain, 3 men will work at it commencing Sunday and carry the matter through in 3 days. This cistern will hold a large body of water, and this we need because we have had 1 year without any rain, except 1 or 2 very light showers. We were highly favored in having water creeks that did not become dry in the drought of summer. The water of the creeks is not fit to drink, but we see all our washing at one of these creeks in a wash house we have built. The Sabbath is soon to commence. We sent a letter for Brother Wilson to come to Corinbong. He has had 2 attacks of bleeding since he went to Sydney. I will pay his board at the school if he can have a room which is provided with fireplace advantages. My brother Wilson is too much respected to be left uncared for. He needs to forget himself and not be afraid. He keeps himself in weakness because he watches every symptom. He is to exercise care and then trust in God. He is to use every precaution and leave the rest with God. I awoke choir early, but I had a good night's rest and feel very thankful to my Heavenly Father. I want so much every day to have a deeper experience in the things of God. I want to know, day by day, that I am taught of God. I have now a great earnest, longing desire to see the school prosper and to see it advancing in Christian experience and knowledge in the Word of God. I thought best not to attend service today. I do not want to tax my physical powers so that I shall not have mental healthfulness to devote to my writing. I awoke before 3 o'clock and after a season of prayer attend to my writing. The cistern is to be completed today. We have been very anxious to have the cistern finished before it rains. Mr. Lavore is doing his best for us, working early and late. I have not been able to trace words in my diary because of other writing urging upon me that must be done. I awakened early this morning at 3:30. My mind was drawn out in prayer in behalf of our school. It has been an uphill business from the first to get the school started. Now the buildings are up, although the second is not yet completed. I wish it was. I sincerely wish it was all finished, for it would be much advantage to both teachers and students. I read to the students and teachers a very solemn message, setting forth the necessity of teachers observing order and discipline. It is what is expected of them, and unless this is strictly guarded, students who are not as they ought to be will demoralize the school unless they reform.
We have to watch those who are teachers, but who need to be learners. If one of the teachers has not the transforming influence of the Spirit of God upon his heart, fashioning him daily as a vessel unto honor, his departure from the rules of the school and even that which he may consider small things, such as taking liberties to open fruit cans and help himself, has its influence. When a teacher, knowing the students are not permitted to do this, has for his last meal in the day 2 or 3 kinds of sauce, which he calls for, and then, when remonstrated with, says, "I am the faculty," and laughs at his liberties which he has taken, much labor must be put forth to counteract his influence. The eating question is most difficult to manage. We are making most strenuous efforts. We feel compelled to do this because of setting the tuition so low that we will be swamped in debt unless we study economy. We see the influence is not that which should be seen by the students. The influence is to counteract the influence of the matron. I am so sorry, so sorry. This is not to be a school after the common order of schools. It is such a school as the Lord has marked out should be established. We have to demonstrate that we have not followed cunningly devised fables. That which we might attain through living connection with God, we do not have because we do not feel our need. I awoke at 3:00 and prepared myself to write. My heart is full of the matter of the preparation our people need to stand in the day of the Lord. Every moment is an entrusted talent to be employed in doing good and blessing humanity. We have no time to lose in speaking needless words or in doing unnecessary things. There is enough to be accomplished in our world to bless those who need help most, doing what we can. I want my soul all alive with interest for those who are not in the ark of safety, to open the door for them to come in. While I was busily writing upon important matters, Sarah came in interrupting me, saying, "Brother Colston had just come running from Dora Creek, so out of breath he could scarcely speak," stating, "There is at Dora Creek a man very sick with inflammation of the lungs, and he will and must die unless he has help. The family is large, and they are not poor, but most bitterly opposed to Seventh-day Adventists. The father of this large family will not allow one of our faith to step foot on or across his premises. We thought this might be an opportunity to break down this prejudice." Sarah and May White went as soon as they could gather up articles to take with them to help the sick man. They found him with his eyes glazed. He was unconscious and was mourning and repining, saying he had been a good son, loved his mother and his brothers and sisters. Thus he kept his mourning. The room was full of his parents and brothers and sisters. There were no windows open, not a crack of air for ventilating the room. Sarah took charge at once, told them that they were killing him, that the lungs must have food, good pure air. All must leave the room but those required to wait on him. She examined the house and told them he must be moved into the sitting room. First she directed that his bowels, which were burning hot, be relieved by an enema, administered by 2 brethren who were present. Then a cot was brought in and Sarah made it up. Then, all unconscious of everything, he was moved by 4 men onto the cot, and plenty of air was given him. He fell asleep for the first time since Monday. After remaining until the afternoon was nearly gone, Sarah and May returned. I write my diary on Sunday, not on the Sabbath. I passed a very restless night, but I thank the Lord I slept much better after 12:00 until morning. I offered up my morning tribute of thanksgiving and praise that my health is quite good. I suffer as little pain as I have done since I was 9 years old, and then the great affliction came to me, the injury of a broken nose. I am grateful to God for His mercies and blessings given me in health. We rejoice in God as a family. We have discarded meat. We know it is not healthful to eat the flesh of dead animals. We have had no meat upon our table for years. We likewise discarded butter. I eat no pastries. I confine myself to one or two things, but will not venture a mixed diet. I have used at my meals homemade coffee, but have abandoned this and used no drink of any kind with my meals, and I am much better health-wise. Not anyone in our family attended service. It has rained all day and some of the time quite severely, pouring down from the heavens. The cistern is unprepared for the rain. I have many things of importance impressed upon my mind. My heart longs to speak these things to the people, and with my pen to voice the impressions made upon my mind by the Spirit of God. May the Lord help me, is my prayer.
Saturday, about noon, Brother Colston called, stating the young man was dead. He died at 1 o'clock. A doctor had been telegraphed to come from Newcastle before Sarah was sent for. He had been sent for once before, earlier in the week, but had done not a thing for him. The same doctor came again on Friday after Sarah left, and was surprised at the change for the better. He found him rational, and said himself he was better. He was told what treatment he had received, and said it could not be bettered, said he was free from fever, that his hands were soft and moist. He left word that if he had sinking spells, to give him a drop or two of liquor. Well, the doctor left, and Brother Colston came in the room and found a blazing fire, and every window closed shut. As he had been sent for help in this case, he went to work at once and threw the wood out of doors, put out the fire, bathed his face and head, and opened the window and let in air. The sick man said, "You are a good fellow, Billy Colston. You know what to do for a fellow. I feel better." Brother Colston remained with him until past 10 o'clock. He saw the brothers and father were drinking rum, and they proposed giving the sick man some, but Colston said, "Do not give him one drop. If you do, it will kill him, and I will not remain." They said they would not give him any. Said the brothers, "He is the only one in the family that has refused to drink liquor. He would never touch it." But Brother Colston left, and they thought he was weakening, and gave him liquor. Early next morning, Colston went to the house and learned the patient was dead. "Then," said Colston, "you gave him liquor." They said they did. Mrs. Swan, a neighbor who had been with Sarah while she was giving him treatment, came in early to see the patient and found he had died. Said she to his mother, "Then they have given him liquor." "Yes," said the mother, "all they could possibly stuff down him." "Well," said Mrs. Swan, "they have killed him." "Why," said she, "did you not send for me?" Said she, "My conscience would not let me after this was done." She charged it all upon the doctor, who advised that a little liquor be given him, but the men, drinking themselves, were in no condition to stop with a drop or two. The man was doing well, remarkably well. He was violently sick, but the treatment had worked favorably, and he had slept, and awoke knowing every member of the large family. But they killed the poor young man. They are a very affectionate family, but liquor had beclouded their senses. This day, July 25th, every effort is made to prepare the new home for May White. It rained all day Sabbath and through the night. Everything is wet. Today, Sunday, it does not rain, but mists. Considerable work is done by our farmer, and work out of doors by other hands. The house is nearly finished. Painting and hanging doors are still being done. The iron roof is being put on the barn. The tank was leaking into the cellar. This had to be seen to. The tank full of water was emptied into another tank, and the pipe leakage mended, and the cistern was cemented, but everything fell off in the bottom of the cistern. The water pipes are turned into the cistern, and the two tanks are full, and the cistern must now be left to its fate until it is dry again. Toward evening, it commenced raining, and rained hard. We have a new milk cow. Beauty calved this evening, July 25th, 1897. Slept better last night. Awoke at 2:30. I render thanks unto my heavenly Father for his blessing, after seeking the Lord in prayer. I go to my heavenly Father as a child in need goes to his temporal earthly father. We know that God must be interested in us, as the earthly parent is interested in his child, but to a much larger degree. I place myself as his child, and in simple faith ask for the small favors as I would ask for larger gifts, believing the Lord hears the simple, contrite prayer. I keep saying in my heart, He loves me, He wants my love, and He wants me to be happy. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Psalm 84, verse 11, 12. I will appropriate His promises to myself, and will be glad in the Lord, and ever praise His holy name. Last night it rained, yes, poured down water from the heavens. Our lemon and navel oranges and other trees are well set in the ground. The asparagus bed is set out. Rhubarb or pie plant is in the ground, and have the benefit of the rain. The rainbow appeared this morning, and the treetops glistened like diamonds in the sunbeams breaking through the clouds. Soon the sun was hidden again, and the rain has been coming down in showers. All our garden planting is overflowed by the rising of the water. Yet amid the storm we are trying to settle May White in her new house. For several days she has been living in three places, in the new house, settling that, in my parlor as a safe nursery for her children, and cooking and eating in the small house where they have lived for 6 months. They carried the twins to the new house, into larger rooms. I never saw children 15 months old act as these children did. They would run and laugh and hop and jump, and kept up this trotting and running for hours. They acted as if they thought the house was built for their playhouse. I slept this morning, July 27th, until 2:30, and then I could sleep no more. I have slept quite well during the night. I see it has not rained during the night. The stars are out, shining brightly. I have not been able to write today. My head will not do me service. May has now been moved into her new house, and will be able to sleep in it in the course of 1 week. We have had no rain today. It has been sunshiny and pleasant. The sun set clear tonight. I have felt much exhausted today. I will not be discouraged. I will trust in the Lord. I will glorify His holy name. There is too much care that comes upon me. Sarah and I have much to plan and to think of. I hope and pray the Lord will give wisdom in all things. July 28, 1897, Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales. I awaken at 2:30 and offer up my prayer to God in the name of Jesus. I am weak in physical strength. My head is not free from pain. My left eye troubles me. In writing upon the life of Christ, I am deeply wrought upon. I forget to breathe as I should. I cannot endure the intensity of feeling that comes over me as I think of what Christ has suffered in our world. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed, if we receive Him by faith as our personal Savior. Everything is at stake with us. Our obedience or disobedience to the commandments of God will decide our eternal welfare. If ye keep my commandments, Christ says, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. John 15, verse 10. If ye love me, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. John 14, verse 15, 21, 23, 24. Now is our time of probation. Now is our time of test and trial. Will we be obedient to God? Will we respect the commandments which are the rule of His government in heaven and in earth? If men respect not a plain thus saith the Lord, but accept the word and commandments of men, if they venture to dishonor God's law and compel the consciences of men, forcing them to respect human laws and enactments, they exalt the human above the divine, and plainly say, "We will not have this man to rule over us. We will receive the commandments of men, and teach them as the commandments of God." Luke 19, verse 14, Matthew 15, verse 9. Thus they bind up with the first great apostate and decide their future destiny. July 29, 1897. I was able to sleep till 3:30. I thank the Lord that I am gaining some strength. I pray to my Lord for strength. I give myself to His service. I long for physical strength and health, for mental clearness, that I may render to God acceptable service. Ye have not chosen me, Christ has said, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go, and bring forth, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. John 15, verse 16. The Word is full of precious promises. I shall have strength of eyesight, I shall have strength of brain, I shall have clearness of conception, and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because I ask in the name of Jesus. Precious Savior, He gave His life for me. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgment, and His ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Romans 11, verse 33-36. I long for the benefits that we all may receive through faith. Now is our opportunity to hide our life with Christ in God. Every moment of our time is precious. The precious talents lent us of God are to be employed in His service. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19-20. Yes, we are the Lord's blood-bought heritage. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. This God requires of every one who shall compose his family in the kingdom of heaven. All selfishness must be overcome. We must be true to God, true as steel to all His commandments. Human beings frame laws and are very zealous for their enactment. At the same time, they transgress the highest law from the mightiest sovereign. This they attempt to make null and void. They exalt the human above the divine. Shall I not judge for these things, saith the Lord of hosts? Jeremiah 5, verse 9. Yes, God will reward every man according to his works. I rise at 3 a.m. and commit myself to the care of my heavenly Father. There is much that I desire to do, and the time passes, and I regret that I cannot do more. I feel deeply that the Lord must be with us, else we shall not succeed in this school. I have again been instructed that side issues would certainly come in. The enemy is wide awake, and we must watch for souls as they that must give account. The period of school life is beset with special influences of temptation. The young men and women are some of them ignorant of Satan's devices. The young men can influence the young men. The young women can influence the young women for good, by the talents of words and by the talent of influence. The example on the right side will impress hearts, for angels of God cooperate with every person that is on the right side. Each soul must have a vital connection with God. All should feel that their time is a talent, their speech is a talent. The influence that surrounds the soul may be charged continually with good. They can be witnesses for Christ, and they can represent Christ. This they have pledged themselves to do. Yet when the young men and women associate together, they seem generally to consider that cheap words and a cheap example in sport and frivolity are expected of them. But Christ does not expect any such cheap representations. Shall the character be bereft of all the sweet, heavenly, life-giving fragrance when they associate together, and their words and deportment become unsavory in their human exhibitions? Shall not the grace of the heavenly adornment show the transformation wrought by the Spirit of God? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Colossians 3, verse 1-4 and 12. Sabbath morning I awoke having slept until past 5 o'clock. This is unusual with me. I praise the Lord that I was able to obtain rest in sleep. In the night season I was addressing the students. No man can teach the Word of God successfully who has ceased to be a student. No teacher can successfully lead the minds of youth in safe study unless they shall put away their own ideas and take the Bible as their counselor. A vivacious habit and practice in speaking the word of truth is not enough. The endowment of the Spirit of God must come to the heart and soften and subdue the soul. The ministers who have a long list of notes and who keep to these notes and reproduce their old discourses over and over again with scarcely any variation become uninteresting to the hearer. The thought of entertaining the congregation with a routine of declamation is not feeding the flock of God with pure provender, thoroughly winnowed. Diligent study of the Word is essential in order to bring fresh manna to the hearers.
The minister's discourse is oft framed by the experience he obtains doing good to others. In making pastoral calls, as he seeks to impart comfort and encouragement to souls, the Scriptures open to them with new and interesting light, because the light of truth is shining into the chambers of the mind. We feel very earnest and anxious to say to the people, if the Lord be God, follow him. Do not eat fables and drink in the fables of infidelity. Illusions will abundantly penetrate the mind and heart opened to receive them. There is need of walking with God as did Enoch. Let each have an earnest regard for his own present and eternal good, and make every effort to improve all his powers in the service of God. The principles young men and women adopt become henceforward a living, molding influence. Those things which they receive in their period of education will be as the water of life. They will enter into his heart experience and become his own property and his own chosen principles.